My pappy said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A.
Welcome to the show. Good morning. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach. I hope this finds you all well. It must be Saturday morning, because we're on the air, and it's 9 a.m., time for It's Your Money, the radio talk show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. Again, my name's Paul Nichols. I'm your host. Welcome. I'm glad that you are listening this morning. We is because someone else is here, and that would be Deb Seward. Good morning, Deb. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I thought, Deb, you've been on the show a few times now. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea to refresh people's memories, or if they are a first-time listener, who we are. Obviously, our show is designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. We believe that education plus clarity leads to confidence that can result in peace of mind. And you don't need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. It's Your Money is brought to you every Saturday morning by Financial Abundance, which is my firm. Financial Abundance is a registered investment advisory firm, and Deb is part of that firm now. Deb came on, I don't know, recently, right?
Yep, about a month or so ago.
And Deb comes from a traditional background
of very traditional
financial planning, right?
Yes.
Maybe you can give them a little 30-second-minute synopsis just to refresh people's memories, or let those people know that are new listeners, who you are, because you're going to be joining us on the show every so often. It's good to bat ideas around.
Sure. I really came from a trust background initially, worked a lot with estate planning, retirement planning, worked with businesses as well for their 401ks, moved then from the traditional trust side over to more of a brokerage side, if you will, worked mainly with investments.
So basically you come from 30 years of financial rep, I guess,
yes,
background.
Yes, services.
Yeah, and with large firms, banks and
Brokerage houses,
yeah. So Deb's going to be joining me every so often here, and I guess fairly often in the next couple months, because we have some pretty aggressive plans ourselves with the courses that we're doing at San Diego University starting in May. We're doing the same courses we do here for South Hills Business School, Susquehanna University, and Sun Area Technology Center. And we're excited about that. But Deb may, she'll be coming on more often, but maybe even try it solo if I can't get back in time. Of course, you can always do these shows, I guess, anywhere, as long as I got a microphone, right?
Yeah, but it's easier to bounce things off of someone else.
Yeah, it is, you know. So, hey, anyway, folks, what we're going to do today is a little different than normal. In fact, I've never done this before on the show, and that is talk about the actual process of planning, specifically ours, process of planning, which is quite, I would say, different and unique. And I'm going to find, as you find today, we might call this a show of self-discovery for Paul, because I obviously came from a traditional planning background, but Deb's been in it 30 years. So we're going to bat around a little bit of the differences between what we consider to be a holistic approach to retirement planning specifically, and estate planning and et cetera, compared to the traditional. And we're just going to kind of bat around what we do in our process. And I've noticed of late a lot of people that I have talked to, there's a large group of people that have never really got any planning done.
That's right. Some people just fail to plan.
And I think that larger group is broken down into a couple areas. This is just my opinion. One would be those who are intimidated by a process, may not feel they would qualify for whatever reason, whether that be financially or intellectually or anything, only to find out, of course, that most people really don't know much about finances.
Very little.
It's not really taught that much. So I'm constantly having people apologize for not knowing much about this arena.
Or doing it sooner.
Yeah. I don't know why we all feel that we should know so much about this when we're not taught it. I mean, how many of you know how to fill a tooth or fix a leaky pipe? You know, that's why you call professionals. So there's that group. Then there's the other group that maybe just doesn't think they need it. That part scares me because denial is not a river in Egypt. And you got to be careful because it's so sophisticated, the tax codes, especially with the new administration and all the changes that are taking place. The planning process that was considered a luxury for your parents, Deb, is a requirement of baby boomers today. What would
I
you
agree.
Say?
No, I definitely agree with that. And it's getting to the point where any financial plans that I worked with in my past, even talking about long-term care insurance as an example, and what happened was is it's going to get to the point where you almost have to sign something that says that you've had a discussion about long-term care planning, and our government is going to kind of sway us in that way.
Well, I've always considered looking at a holistic plan and not just covering my butt, so to speak. But I think if you design a holistic plan, when I say holistic, I mean in whole. That's not some fancy Scientology term. You know, holistic, when I say that, I mean everything you need. I mean, when you walk in the door, you're not sure what's going on. When you walk out, and that may be two or three or four or five or six times, you're going to be done.
So and you're talking about everything from retirement to taxes to long-term care, all of those.
The whole enchilada.
The whole big picture.
Yeah, the whole ball of wax. Do you do Roth conversions? Do you this? Do you do that? So I thought it would be enriching for the listeners today to get an idea of what our process is so they have a point of comparison. At the same time, a lot of people, I think, I shouldn't say a lot of people, I'm not sure, to be honest with you, but I believe there's people that would like to learn more about what we do and potentially work with us, but maybe they don't know or they don't think they're the type of person that would come to us or that type of thing, because I'm having a lot more inquiries, and I think it would be good to coach people up so more people know, you know, what's the group that we could help and how can we help them. So this show is really more about what is the process of planning, not the products and all that kind of stuff, but what is the process? What can you expect? How does it work? What are the steps you go through and that kind of stuff? Again, as soon as you walk in our door, right as you walk in the front door, it says financial abundance, education, clarity, confidence. So, that's what our process is all about. It starts with education. We don't move forward until there's a clarity experience or what I would like to refer to as an aha moment.
And because of that, we will do the initial consultation at no charge just to make sure that there's some kind of an agreement between the two.
Yeah, but let's clarify that a little bit more. I appreciate you bringing that up, Deb. But, you know, if some people aren't sure whether or not they should have some planning done, what they should do is just call the office. Let's have a brief conversation and find out if there really is, you know, some mutual benefit. Can we really do some stuff to help them? And then if it makes sense, then we'll ask them to come in, or it would make sense for them to come in and have a conversation. We don't charge anything for that first conversation because we're not sure whether we can really be of assistance to the person. So we're not going to charge them for, you know. Now, we'll coach them up. They will get coached up at that session, and we'll know whether or not, moving forward, there's any type of planning, whether it be creative or just traditional type stuff that they may need to address. But again, the intent is for them to first of all, have this clarity experience. What is it we need to do? What is it we need to find out? How do we get educated? How do we get from point A to point B? The problem is most people don't even know where point A or point B is.
Or where even to begin,
yeah,
the whole process.
And that's a moving target.
Yes.
You know, sometimes. So, let's just spend a little bit of time talking about this. I wanted to kind of have you, we're in our studio and we're still figuring this out, the studio and the office, and we've got this sound, all this sound stuff around, these soundboard equipment, and I felt like I had an echo in a show that I had heard before, so I'm trying to be real cognizant of that and speak a certain way, but hopefully this sounds good. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about the planning process, Deb. First of all, when people come in to the office for that initial conversation, they may have a whole different or a whole array of ideas of what they want to focus on. So obviously the first step whenever you start to look at planning is to figure out what where people are in their understanding.
Right, like at the process, like do they understand the investments that they have? Is there a problem that they feel that they need to address or need some type of a solution with? And in many cases, people think of this at retirement, but it really should be before they retire that they sit down and have these conversations.
Yeah, especially if you could get someone 5 years before they retire because of the nature of the income planning model and how that works. If you want a guaranteed income stream, it's better to set up ahead of time. But basically, let's give kind of an overview of what we do, just real quick synopsis. Then I'd like for you to do kind of an overview of a synopsis of how the traditional planning model would, or the
okay,
traditional
that
planning.
Sounds good.
Okay. So basically, what happens in our process is we sit down with folks and find out what's what. You know, we'll ask questions like, you know, if we were meeting 3 years from today, hindsight's 2020, what would need to happen in the next 3 years for you to feel happy about your progress? Sometimes people get intimidated by this area or the ego steps in and so on and so forth. We got to hone down and really find out what is it that this couple's concerned about, okay? So we have a conversation, and it may not even be something they're really concerned about. You may not even be concerned about it. You may not even know enough to be concerned or not concerned or whatever. Generally, knowledge does create confidence, and lack of knowledge creates emotional reactions. But basically, we sit down and talk about people. What have you done in the area of planning? How are you going to handle healthcare planning down the road? What about taxes? What's your constitution as it relates to leaving an estate behind? If we can take care of all of your income needs, guarantee them, take care of all that you would need, and there's money left over, would you like to see that go to an organization, a church, a synagogue, your family, or whatever? You know, talk about those things. Some people say, man, if I got money left over, I want to have as much as I can. Other people say, I don't want to leave anything. I think it hurts. So my kids are, you know, and so on and so forth. You know what I mean?
I sure do.
So we got to talk through all that. What's your plan here? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? Do you believe taxes are going to be higher, lower, or the same in the future? Most people are very unaware that when they get to retirement, most of them are in the same or higher tax bracket.
And that's the kind of misnomer. But most people don't even think about that at the time they retire. They also don't think about how inflation might impact and how 30 years down the road, we could seriously be in retirement for 30-plus years.
Longevity into retirement. And by the way, I think that's one area the traditional traditional planning differs,
right,
is they really believe in deferring taxes. I'm the last guy that would defer taxes. In fact, I had another conversation yesterday with my accountant, Sunday, okay, because by the time you guys are listening to this, tax day's passed, okay? But she talked about deferring more income, and I'm like, man, if I put a dime in an IRA, I would be a bold-faced liar because all I talk about is not doing that. I would never fund a traditional IRA. The only people that should be funding traditional IRAs are people that really, really, really believe they're going to be in a lower tax bracket, but I haven't seen it.
Well, I hope I'm in a higher tax bracket. That means I'm making more money.
Yeah. So we do this fact finder, and then we have a checklist, and we'll build a file with someone, and we'll go and review that file. I record it and so on, and we compare the file, that person's needs and notes and everything, to a checklist that I have. And that checklist encompasses every type of analysis that you can imagine, an independent objective analysis of your portfolio, asset-based long-term care, traditional long-term care, Roth conversion, income for life, pension max strategies, especially for those of you that may be coming up to retirement in the next 5 or so years and you need to pick a payout from whether you be with Sears or Peasers or TIAA-CREF or VALIC or whatever these different systems, 403Bs, 457s, this type of stuff. Social Security and income tax analysis, IRA stretch analysis, equity management analysis. This is just an example. And then what we do is we sit down with those three or four or five things that may apply to that couple and talk about why we should do the analysis. We believe there's three things to everything: examination, solution, implementation. You can't do anything until you examine exactly what your situation is, coach people up so they understand, they can't even talk about a solution until they really understand what's going on, okay? So we have the conversation, we get the checklist, and then we go through and only do those analyses that pertain to them, and they understand why we're doing them very specifically, and then we go do one at a time, Deb.
That's right.
We just focus on one at a time. We coach up totally in that area, because what happens is when you start to do several different pieces, it's overwhelming for people.
Yes, it is.
We do one thing at a time and then go to the next item. So it's a matter of, it's a lot of coaching, teaching, analysis, so people have self-discovery and figure things out, and then either they implement it or don't implement it. It may take 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 appointments or conversations, but when they pop out on the other end, they're totally done. Now, we can dig into a little more of this, but I want to hear the comparison to kind of our process. Now, I know analysis terms, different terms, and we want to dig down a little deeper. What we're trying to do is compare traditional planning to our holistic approach. This is Paul Nichols. Got to take a break. Joined by Deb Seward. We'll see you on the other side. We'll be right back.
Do 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 down do be do down down. Comma comma down do be do down down. Comma comma down do be do down down. Breaking up is hard to do. Don't take your love away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery. If you go, then I'll be blue.
Welcome back, boys and girls. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I hope this finds you well on this glorious Saturday. Actually, we pre-recorded this. I'm not sure the weather's good, but it's Saturday anyway, so that's a good thing. I hope this finds you well. I'm joined by Deb Seward.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm great.
If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the our planning process, or the planning process, because a lot of people really don't know too much about the process. I think most people, when they think of a planning process, they think of, you mean the sales process.
That's right.
That's really what it is in most cases, unless you really get into planning. Which makes me think, did you realize, Deb, that there is a dramatic difference? Did you know as a registered representative, not an RIA, but a registered representative, that you can't even develop a plan?
No, did not know that.
Yeah. According to the Securities and Exchange Commission, you have to have a 65. Because when I was with ING Financial Partners, I wanted to put in some advertisements that I had planning. Oh, no, you can't do that. Unless you have a Series 65 or you're a registered investment advisor, it's not, you can't do that.
And there are many, many brokers out there that are not 65 series licensed.
Yeah, and they're just, they're saying they're planning. But anyway, they're just little caveats that we like to talk about and help bring up. But we were talking about, when we left off in the last segment, just kind of our process, which we have a very holistic process. I'm going to recap that, and then I'm going to talk about how that compares to the traditional process. When I say traditional, what predominantly most firms, large firms promote as their process. I know they promote their research departments and all that. We'll talk about that. But I've always found that to be a little humorous. But our process, we believe in a holistic approach to planning, not transactions-based. If it's not transactions-based, then you need to have your own epiphany, your own aha. You need to get educated. You need to get coached up. You need to get information so that you can go and study on it in your own time and hopefully have the self-discovery aha moment or epiphany. If people don't have that aha moment or epiphany, then we need to go back and do some more coaching.
Right.
So the idea is we identify what people may need in their particular plans. We have a checklist. And every item on our checklist is an analysis unto itself, and we hone in very specifically in certain areas like long-term care planning, estate planning, pension max, doing a life audit. Folks, if you've got a life insurance plan that's over 5 years old, you need to get an audit done. Seriously.
I agree.
Sometimes we can totally eliminate premiums, increase death benefit because mortality tables change.
Yeah, that was about a year ago that changed.
So basically, a Social Security and income analysis, income for life analysis, an independent objective portfolio analysis. So we look at each of these items, Deb, and then I say, I think we should do this for these reasons, whatever that may be, based on their situation. It could be, based on your situation here with your mom and your sister, that you have this situation, so you want to look at this, and here's why. Now, all this analysis is going to do is simply spit out results. It's going to analyze the situation and spit out numbers or whatever it is we're focusing on, okay? Then they need to take that analysis, go study it, and then have their questions, write them down. So we'll get together, we'll go over the analysis, send them home, they come back, we study it. We don't move to the next one until that one is well understood.
Yeah, and that's quite a bit different from the background I came from. We pretty much just... We just offered to do the planning piece. We'd ask clients to bring in their statements or their wills or their retirement accounts, whatever their buttons were. And we would kind of throw it through this funneling process, and we would spit out this report that's about an inch and a half and 2 inches thick. And
I've seen one of these.
And
it's intimidating.
It is intimidating and confusing, and you just weren't sure what to do. Like, where do we start with first? And
a lot of hypotheticals, too.
Very many hypotheticals. And who knows what interest rates are going to do, and who knows how long you're going to live. I mean, so there's a lot of variables that we sort of threw in there. And quite honestly, I'm not just sure that the clients were eager to react on that old type of traditional planning model, because I think they were more confused after the results than they were of coming out with really solutions.
Let me ask you something. Was the intent of the analysis or that illustration or whatever to make a sale?
Yes, I believe it was to gather assets and to find a loophole somewhere that needed improvements, or so we were able to convince the client of that. And there was a sale made, whether it be investments, whether it be insurance, or whether it be maybe naming someone as executor of that will for a future fee income down the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's interesting? I've noticed that... And one of the things that's really interesting about our process is not all the analysis lead to that,
right.
The sales. I mean, it's really about self-discovery, understanding. Now, some people say, oh, that's too – it might be a lady listening, maybe cooking breakfast this morning, listening to the show, going, well, that's all good and fine, but I really don't want to learn all that stuff. I don't want to know that. Well, that's because most people have been intimidated by the process. It's not as nearly as complex as you might think that it is when it's really broken down. And this I did not realize until after the fact, Deb. I had Luke, who was in our office a while back, he had made an observation. He goes, you know, I notice when people first come into the office, they're a little bit apprehensive, maybe sheepish, if you will, kind of not sure about things. He said, I've actually watched on numerous occasions people's body language and posture change. Because as they come in two or three or four times, they start to gain, again, education leads to clarity. They start to gain clarity. And that clarity then leads to confidence rather than them going with the trust solution. I'm not sure what to do. I'm just going to trust this advisor. They're never really going to have peace of mind, because if the market takes a hiccup or something goes wrong... They're gonna instinctively go back to emotional type decisions. So, the point that I'm making, I can't not speak any stronger. I just can't come up with the words this morning as it relates to how important education is. Education will satisfy the logical aspect of our brain, which then we will not revert to emotion and make bad decisions. I don't know how to put it any other way. Maybe you can recap it from a different perspective.
Well, basically, my model was always on trust. If they trusted me, they would take care and do what I said, whether they knew what the right thing to do was or not. But I will tell you this. You and I have talked about this. We really don't care anymore if people trust us. We want them to understand exactly what they're doing from an educational process, and that's what we want to carry them through.
I want them to trust me, Deb, eventually, but I prefer they don't in the beginning.
Right, exactly.
Because that's exactly how a lot of them gotten in these situations that they're in, you know. I'll tell you what I notice happens. Because the industry is so transactional based, that by the time somebody comes into my office, because I deal predominantly with retirement planning, by the time somebody comes in my office 50 plus or whatever, 55, it's like they've gone through this transactional smorgasbord.
For so many years.
And they've picked up this thing here and this thing there. And normally the rep would say something like, well, this will serve you well at this point. But they never develop a whole plan to say, this turns on, this triggers, this starts, this is what this will be. And I find myself, it's almost like putting puzzles together. That's what I find myself doing. I am cleaning up, in most cases, the transactions and products purchases that people have made over many decades. I don't mind doing it. That's why I make the big bucks. But I'm just saying, you know, I actually enjoy doing the planet. It's just I wish people would take the time and, you know, to get more educated. And unfortunately, a lot of people, and I was guilty of this recently, and it made me readdress my process personally. I had a client call in, or someone we were starting to work with, and they called in and said they didn't want to move any further because they didn't understand what I was talking about. And you know me, I pride myself on being very, very clear about everything.
Right.
And so I had to step back and say, you know what, I gotta ground myself again. I gotta remember these people don't know that much about this stuff when they come in, and I've gotta remember to keep myself grounded. But so many people trust Deb because they don't understand.
And here's the process that we were always told to go through. You pretty much should be able to make a transaction or some type of a sale within one or two appointments.
Really?
How many times do you go through this planning process? How many appointments would you say this takes you to go through an individual's process?
I would say, you know, it depends on the client, but I would say anywhere from 5 to 8 or 9 different conversations where we get together. And I wouldn't say any type of transactions, if they do happen, take place. See, people can pay me a fee and just get the planning done. I've never collected anything in 2 appointments.
I know, and that's what
or 3, for that matter, maybe not even 4 or 5. You know?
And that was the expectations where I came from.
It's amazing because people come into my office looking for the pitch. And when they don't get it, it really baffles them. They're still looking for it. And I've got to tell people, just calm down. Look, you never get blindsided. You never have to reach in your pocket. You're going to know very clearly what's going to go on ahead of time. I do get a fee for the planning that I do if we do some of that work. And they know very clearly what that is and so on and so forth. So it's interesting that the industry is so transactions-based. And obviously transactions need to happen in order for somebody's situation to improve, hopefully, with the product and for the rep to make a living. But only if it puts the client in a better situation. How many times have I said to you, Deb, when you look at a plan, say, what would I personally do?
Right. If it doesn't make sense, then we say goodbye and that's the end.
Yeah. I am, every plan I design, and this is why I look at a holistic approach, I want every item done. I don't want to be thinking about this again. I want it to be done totally. I want it to be seamless for my wife. So if, God forbid, something happens to me, that she's not, a slick and slicker aren't going to show up at the door.
Right.
You know,
and that's got to be a lot of peace.
I want it done personally, you know. But I believe in a holistic approach. When I look at someone's plan or their situation, I look at the whole thing and say, what would I do? And only what I would do is what I would do analysis and check for people. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if I wouldn't personally do it, I'm not going to recommend anyone do it.
I used to work with this guy that I think he would sell the product of the day because it had the highest commission, and I had to clean up a lot of that stuff.
Well, I've met a number of people in this industry like that, okay? Look, anytime you get into an industry, there's certain industries out there that are lucrative, and this is a very lucrative industry. Let's be candid about it. There's a lot of money that can be made for people who develop large practices, like any industry, but
sure,
especially in this industry, okay? There's a lot of money to be made, and it's a situation where, unfortunately, you get a lot of these guys, and that's all they do, which I've never understood why they just focus on the money. If they focused on a long-term benefit to their client, then everything else would work itself out. In other words, here's what I mean by that. A lot of these guys are some of these people out there are transactional. That's all they're doing is just selling a product. I've never understood, how long do they plan on being in business? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
What do you mean by when I say that?
Well, it means every day you have to start over from zero. It's
Well, I didn't mean it there. I meant if they keep doing that just transactionally, okay, they're not long-term thinkers.
Right.
If they did a holistic and really did planning and really not just built trust but really focused on the best plan they could for their client, how many of those clients would refer other clients? In fact, we don't even ever ask for referrals, but we get them on a regular basis.
I think the industry sort of formulates that, or the industry that we work in pretty much goes through that process, and that's kind of how they want us to think. So by me shifting gears here, it's really made me think a whole lot differently on the whole process.
And it's not transactional.
Right.
And I've had to say to you a couple times, we're not transactional, right?
I have to redirect my thinking.
Yeah. And I know where your head is and your heart is that you want to do the best for your client. We've had many of those discussions before you ever came over here. But again, it's breaking that old...
It's breaking the old habit.
Yeah, that old habit. And I came from sales, and I understand that years ago. That's how it used to be. Years and years ago, I mean, if I didn't sell, I didn't put food on the table.
That's right. And I never wanted to be in that position to be that way.
Yeah. So when you look at the process of planning, I have found that I prefer someone has been through the process before they come see me.
Agreed.
Because if they come to see me first, Deb, they have no appreciation for our process.
I agree with that.
Okay. In fact, I've asked people, if I start to see a little bit of that, I see that they're not really getting it or don't appreciate how unique our process is. Maybe they're apprehensive or they're worried about getting sold or whatever. I say, listen, what you need to do is let's just stop right here. Why don't you go stop at some other places in town and come back and see me?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll start to see a major difference in a process. I don't really like hypotheticals when it comes to retirement planning.
That's all it is looking at the past.
I like hypotheticals when I'm looking at my business growth or when I'm looking at my personal account and what I'm saving and that type of stuff. But when it comes to retirement plans, income plans, these types of plans, I don't want to see hypotheticals.
And that's how the traditional brokers do the financial planning, the traditional way.
Yeah. And you know, look, they're doing the best they can. I understand that. I would have never recognized that there was something different had I not been an entrepreneur and came into this industry as an entrepreneur, not as a young kid out of college.
I agree with that.
You know, that's so why I came in with a different mindset. You came in right fairly out of school, right?
Right.
Right into the industry.
I started right after school, right into the industry. So yeah. That was the only thing I've ever known. So I was very happy when Paul and I eventually talked.
So when Deb started looking at our process, and she goes, wow, there's analysis in both process and all that, but she goes, wow, it's so different, and the reason it's so different is because when I came into the industry as an entrepreneur, I started recognizing areas, and I'm saying, I would never do that, I would never do that, I would never do that. But the company or the brokerage firm that I was with would promote that, and I'm like, I'm not doing that.
That's right, and that's the background I came from. They would promote that process.
Yeah, it'd be like the weekly, okay, let's sell these funds this week, or we're getting an extra quarter point on these funds, or whatever the case is, you know. But not to knock guys out there and gals out there trying to do the best they can, and most of them are doing absolutely the best they can for you. Many of them, unfortunately, are in a mechanism that... is not really conducive.
Have their hands tied like you and I at one time did.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, when we come back, we've been talking about the traditional planning process versus a holistic planning process. What I'd like to do is maybe dig down a little bit in to specifically some of the analysis that make up the components of an overall plan. Does that...
That makes a lot of sense.
People would be interested in
Absolutely.
Learning that? I don't want to go somewhere where some people aren't interested. But
no, I definitely do.
All right, well, let's talk about the kind of analysis you need to get done then, and we'll come back after the break. You're listening to Paul Nichols. I'm joined by Deb Seward. It's Your Money is brought to you every Saturday morning. Part of Coach's Corner is brought to you by Financial Abundance. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
Sit home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
Welcome back to the show, boys and girls. This is Paul, the investor coach. I'm joined by Deb Seward. You're listening to It's Your Money, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. Hey, Deb, did you know that people can go to WJAC-TV website and check out our bonus coaching? Did you know that?
I did know that.
WJAC-TV, I'm the investor coach. That's the NBC affiliate for Central Pennsylvania. Did I say Pennsylvania?
Yes, I did.
I thought that. I meant Pennsylvania. That's from my wife. That's a little inside joke, ladies and gentlemen, between me and my wife, who was born and raised in Center Hall, which is just outside of State College, for those of you in the other listening areas. But where was I going with that?
I got stuck with Pennsylvania.
I got a brain fart. I was going somewhere with that and totally spaced it out.
No, you were talking about the WJAC-TV.
Oh, yes, of course, WJAC-TV. I am specifically the investor coach for WJAC-TV. And they actually created a web page on their website called It's Your Money. If you go to the news tab, WJACTV.com, go to the news tab, and then on there you'll see It's Your Money. Click on there, and you'll see some bonus videos. I don't know how many we got on there now, but we got quite a few. They're little like minute, minute and a half, 2 minute bonus coaching videos. We have a number of them that were questions. I think they're still posted questions that.
Right from the viewers.
Yeah, from the viewers. And, of course, did you also know that they can go to Financial Abundance and listen to the show on there? A lot of people don't know that.
Little podcast, if you like iTunes or podcast, it works out great.
And they don't even need to do that to listen to the show. Did you know that?
No, I thought you had to download
that. No, you don't. You can go right on to the actual website and listen to the show.
www.financialabundanceinc.com.
That's Financial Abundance. That's what we believe in, abundance, financial abundance, i.e. that's where it came from, Financial Abundance, Inc., I-N-C, financialabundanceinc.com. And, yeah, you just click right on there. There's a big button that says radio shows, and you can go and listen to the radio shows there. Or for those of you that are on the technological wave of the iPods and what have you, you can go to iTunes. And, by the way, I don't think you really need to have an iPod to go to iTunes.
I don't think so either.
You can, and I downloaded a bunch of podcasts this weekend on, I've been listening to these greatest speeches in history. I don't know, I'm just into this.
You're a history buff.
I love history, yeah. And I've been getting a lot of war. I've been listening to a lot of interviews from Medal of Honor winners, probably prompted by the Pacific, you know, that HBO thing. I've been watching that. But as a veteran, I flew in helicopters and was in the Navy. I don't know, that just stuff just appeals to
yeah,
me.
Just, yeah.
What
just
appeals to me is the common man. Some of these Medal of Honor winners are the most unlikely people.
Right. You'd never think, and you never really, they don't toot their own horns. And
they just were able to excel in a very ordinary person in a very unordinary situation. But anyway, we were talking about planning. I don't know why we got on all that, Deb. You keep getting me sidetracked there. I jest. We were talking about planning, and this segment, we wanted to finish this off in this week's show. We were talking about the difference between traditional planning and more of a holistic approach to planning. Holistic meaning really honing in and figuring out what people need. Both planning sides would do that.
Kind of the guts.
Yeah, but more getting into real planning than transactions.
Exactly.
And I wanted to mention some of the analysis and dig into them a little bit, Deb, because I think people would appreciate this. And I have a list of them here. I just thought I would share with people. Obviously, we can do a Roth conversion.
That's a big item right now.
Yeah, and you never know. So we do these conversions, and there's a report that comes out, and it's really cool. And it's on their numbers and everything, and it just looks at it several different ways, and it's very clear when you're done with that whether it makes sense to do a Roth conversion or not. It also shows us some very unique ways to deal with the taxes on the Roth conversion.
And even though you may have just did your taxes for 2009, you have the rest of this year till December 31st to do this conversion. So it's not too late.
No, you can always do Roth conversions. And I'm not promoting that you do a Roth conversion necessarily, but I would promote that you would do an analysis to
right.
crunch all your numbers and figure out what's going on. I just helped a guy last week. We were he has a substantial IRA, worked for the same company for 30 years, made really good money, he's put money away. And he was concerned about the taxes and whether we should do a Roth. And here's what we did with him. We ended up doing a Roth conversion, and it's really cool because the Roth conversion would actually spit out a life insurance aspect of it. So what we did with this guy was he continued to take his, or he'll start to take at 70 his required minimum distributions. We did put a life insurance policy in on him. We're going after max death benefit on this, not some of the other creative planning that we do.
Right.
But max death benefit, when he passes away, his wife then takes that and does the Roth conversion. It was actually multi-generational planning. So one of his big concerns was getting his kids that IRA, but dealing with the taxes on it.
Right, pay the taxes on it, and then how much they get after taxes and so on.
So the Roth analysis gave him a dozen different ways to look at it, and that's kind of what he latched onto. That was his thing. So that wasn't even something we recommended per se, but the analysis made it very clear. He had his own epiphany.
Which is the way you want it to be.
Yeah, I explained it all to him. He went home. He had his own epiphany, studied it, and then came back, and then we filled in some blanks and some areas of clarity that he needed, and then he knew what he wanted to do because
that's
he had
a good
all
case.
The facts. Yeah.
Yeah.
asset-based versus traditional. You know, we can do a traditional long-term care analysis. Now, what that entails is again, it's a self-discovery analysis. It's got questions in there. People would ask questions in the comfort of their home, spouses perhaps or whatever, kids, family, if you want to get involved, all the aspects and legal aspects of long-term care, you know, stuff right from the Department of Insurance explains it and so on. And so, and then it comes out with, we'll go do an analysis and we'll bounce someone's case off a dozen long-term care companies and come back with the best two. And it really makes no difference to me. So that analysis does give them a little bit of a solution.
Sure. They need some protection.
Because of the numbers.
Right.
But asset-based long-term care, most people are not even aware of that. You know, that there's some very creative ways to deal with long-term care using asset-based long-term care. So we can do an analysis for people in that area. And what asset-based is, rather than paying an annual premium, you use a different strategy, a combination of life insurance and long-term care, so that if you have a long-term care occurrence, you have the money for that. If you don't and you die, then your family gets a windfall, and so you know what your economic benefit is.
Yeah, and not every solution works for every person, so that's why the analysis comes back.
And if some of this stuff seems, terminology seems a little over your head, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry too much about it. Just realize if you're over 50 and it's time to do some planning, these are the type of analyses you need and the type of information that you need to ascertain. Does it make sense for somebody to do an IRA stretch or a multi-generational planning of non-qualified accounts? You know, so I called it controlled spending from the grave.
There are people that really want to control that.
You know, I can think of a whole bunch of scenarios. It seems to be very common. Clients come in. I have two kids, three kids, four kids. These two are really good stewards. This one's a spendthrift.
Yep, that is common.
Yeah, and so, okay, well, the stewards, we know they're going to do very well. Let's get them a lump sum at death, if that's their plan or whatever, a tax-free or whatever the situation is, we do the planning. But those that are more spendthrift types, we need to do some creative planning for income streams so that they have an ongoing income stream. So that would be an example. Does an IRA stretch make sense? Pension max, I can't tell you. We've been doing a massive amount of pension max strategies. Now, the idea with the pension max analysis, Deb, is when somebody has a payout, you know, from their pension plan, like PEASRs.
Penn State is a good example.
Yeah, Penn State. So you get options 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. For example, option 1 might be straight life. That's one payout. That's the max payout you're going to get. If you die, nothing goes to your spouse. Then there'll be another option that'll pay you, if you die, it'll pay you a certain amount to your spouse or your heirs, okay? Then there's another option where you might take a payout. It's lower than the max payout, but your spouse gets a 50%.
Right.
Upon your death, they continue to get 50% of your pension. Or you might do 100%. So there's a different options. Now, what's interesting is people don't realize that this pension max strategy, what happens is if you're, let's say you're the husband. Let's say it's me and you. Okay.
Let's
say we're married.
That's good.
So I'm retiring. I take the survivorship option for you, and then you die the next year.
Okay.
I've taken a pay cut.
So you've taken a pay cut, and then I pass away.
Yeah. And
so which means?
The pay cut was for you.
Right.
So now I just take, you know, I got less income the rest of my life. So what we might do is look at the pension max. Let's say it's $4,000 and the other one's $3,500. The survivorship, there's a difference of $500 a month. Go out and look at some life insurance and say, look, let's take and buy a $500,000 life insurance policy on your death, on me. And if I die, then you get a $500,000 windfall. You've got income. You're set for the rest of your life. Okay.
That sounds good to me.
If you die right ahead, if you die soon, then I can stop the insurance.
Right.
And I've got a max pension. Or the smart thing is go to the children. We've done this on numerous occasions.
Yeah, I've done
this. Hey, look. Your dad's been paying this on this premium for 12 years on this. It's $500,000. You kids are all good income earners now. Why don't you split the premium payment and split the $500,000? It's tax-free at death. I think that's pretty smart. I mean, even if they paid, you know, let's say they paid $5,000, that's just pulling a number out of the air, for 30 years, it's still $150,000 they put in. They're
tax
getting
free,
$500,000 tax-free, which is more like $750,000.
Yeah.
You know?
Very powerful.
So anyway, this is another analysis that you
can do. Yeah, I think that pension max is definitely an analysis that everyone should be utilizing.
If they have need to take income options, especially
right.
if they've got to pick income
Which most
options.
People we talk with in this area that work for Penn State are exactly in that.
Or they're with PESERS, the Pennsylvania State School.
Yeah, teachers.
Or the SEERS,
right.
State Employee Retirement. We deal with a lot of that. I mean, we do that all the time.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff, okay? A life audit, that is older policies. You know, mortality's table change. It's not uncommon for us to look at an older policy, take the cash out of that one, exchange it for a new one, eliminate the premium.
Yeah, those mortality tables changed either January of 2008 or January of 2009. I can't really remember.
And they change every so often.
Yeah, but they hadn't changed probably at least a good 5 years prior to that. So it's a good time to review that.
Yeah, so you may be missing out on a bang for the buck that you're not even aware of. Another example of just an analysis, we have what's called establish a living benefit using a non-traditional retirement plan. That would be for people who are very sensitive to taxes. My income stream is going to be a very substantial one, and I'll pay very little in taxes because of the planning that I've done up till now. So that might be one. We might want to look at an estate tax reduction. You know, a lot of people, especially in some of the valleys, Nittany Valley, Penns Valley, and so on, farmers, they're land rich, cash poor. They pass away. Their farm is also all of a sudden appraised at $1.5 million, and they got to come up with, $150,000 cash, you know.
To pangle Sam.
Yeah, there's some analyses and some things that you can do to help you with that. Obviously, another big one, one that we do very often, is our income for life analysis. That is, can we develop, and what's the process? Again, we're trying to develop something that we can put in their hand, coach them up, let them go, have self-discovery, have an epiphany, have an aha moment, and come back. And I'll tell you, this is a big one.
It is a big one. I have yet to hear anyone complain about guaranteed income for the rest of their life. They know exactly where they stand. They know when they can retire. They know when they can go on vacation. It's income guaranteed for life.
And most people want that, but they don't realize they can do it. See, they're thinking of, and here's what's interesting. Let's think about this for a minute. I'm going to try not to get too heavy, but I want to make a point. Traditionally, what people will do is put a lot of their money in bonds, and then they'll use that income.
Live off the income only.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that that's a mistake because they're taking on the bond risk.
Right.
Unless they're buying individual bonds, if they're buying bond funds, and if they're buying individual bonds, then the question is, are they really going to hold them to maturity?
Right.
I've always found it's better, if you can, to use chassis of insurance because then the bond risk is taken by the insurance company.
I agree.
Because a lot of people don't realize that's where the profits and returns come from, whether you have whole life or annuities or any types of insurances, and that is in the bond options market. A lot of people, they don't realize they could actually get what we've seen is a higher yield using an insurance product that's collateralized by bonds than actually being in the bond market by themselves.
It's absolutely true. It sounds a little confusing, but it's absolutely the truth.
So there's a lot of these little caveats, these little things that analyses will bring out. Now, I realize in traditional planning they do one big analysis, but it's predominantly in order to make transactions to capture your assets. I haven't seen very many serious income plans out there, Deb. Now, I know they try, but it's hypotheticals.
I agree. I thought I was always doing the right thing for my clients, but never until you turned me onto this income for life did I see anything that was this powerful. And honestly, the people that we talk to when they're retiring, when they're starting trying to plan for this, they really are looking for some guarantees in life.
And we can give them to them. There's no doubt about it. We can crunch the numbers. You know, we're coming to the end of our third segment. You've been listening to It's Your Money. If you're a new listener, welcome. My name's Paul Nichols. Deb Seward has been joining me today. We're out of State College, Pennsylvania. The show is syndicated in Central PA, and you can catch it on iTunes as well. Every week, Saturday morning, we come on and talk about financial issues. We work very hard at pulling back the curtain on the industry as a whole and trying to expose the truth about money and investing so people really have a good understanding of what's going on. With that being said, my goodness, another hour has flown by. This is Paul Nichols. You've been listening to It's Your Money. Stay tuned for Ken Pash with Unlocking Your Full Potential. And Deb, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to talking with you next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Enjoy your family and, hey, take a nap today.